Alright everybody, welcome back to the first episode of the Midnight Ride Podcast for 2012. It's Hank Alexander, joined once again by the man who was missing in action. I don't know, he's got a new girlfriend, so we don't hear from him anymore. I don't know. It's Matt Jolly down in Naples, Florida. Secret agent, Matthew Jolly.
What was the title that we gave out? Was the president of the
Florida branch of the Revolution Supporters Fan Club or something
like that? Yeah, it's been a little interesting. It gets a little busy down here towards like the fourth quarter of the year as far as tourism and stuff like that. So yeah, I've been a little busy taking up a new post at the Bent Musket with good friend Stephen Storr.
It's been good stuff you've been putting out over there, and we're definitely going to touch on a lot. I know you've been focusing a lot on the upcoming Super Draft and the potential players to keep an eye out for. We're definitely going to get all over that stuff, and rightly so, because it's literally, I think the combine starts this Friday, and then the draft is next week, I believe.
Right.
A week from Wednesday? Or Thursday.
Thursday.
The 12th. So there's a lot going on in MLS. There's signings and coaches being appointed and all this other stuff. But, you know, meanwhile, the Revolution faithful are sitting here biting what's left of our nails off, wondering what the heck is going on with the club. Yeah, because they came out in late November. They made a lot of big news because they had let go of Steve Nichol. They appointed a new head coach. They had shaken up their front office. They even re-signed their captain, Shari Joseph, to presumably a multi-year contract. And, you know, things were, you know, heading into December, we're looking pretty good. You know, we got new jerseys, new home kits, new away kits with a New England flag on the back. They're really sharp. And, you know, since then, though, you know, we've been through the re-entry draft where the Revs claimed the rights to Danley Borman and Clyde Sims and Nate Chakwa. And of those three, they've only managed to sign one to a contract. This is the information that we've received so far, so presumably, they're still working on these contracts, but there's a lot of unanswered questions out there that they need to address now. And this is kind of what the Revolution faithful, like yourself and myself, and hopefully the people listening, didn't want to happen with the front office. But it seems to be kind of the status quo, I think. And I'll let you chime in a minute. But there's issues like Rajko Lekić saying that he's probably not going to re-sign with the Revolution. There's, you know, the Moncef Zirka. We don't know what his contract status is. Milton Caraglio is reportedly signing with another club, although the Revolution haven't been informed that he's actually signed with the club, is the last I heard. I'm not sure, what they're trying to do there. Maybe it's some kind of position game or something along those lines. But, you know, with preseason breathing down their necks, just 2 weeks away, they've got a lot of things they've got to take care of. So, Matt, what's the priority here for the Revs, do you think? I mean, obviously, with the combine coming up, they've got to get that big piece of business done. But, man, they don't even have a coaching staff named yet.
I know, it's almost to the point where it's like, okay, my God, where do you start? I think if recent history shows, I think under the last coaching regime with Coach Steve Nichol, you've noticed that the Revolution put a lot of emphasis on the combine, on the draft. It's where they do a lot of their building for the most part.
Right.
So obviously, with that being next week and things coming along that particular avenue, I think that might be what they're looking at the most at the moment. I'm sure that the contract negotiations with players that they got in the reentry draft, like Jaqua and Borman, sure, you know, they're ongoing. I'm pretty sure that's going on in the background. But as far as everything that went down pretty much around like November before the holidays, not to come across as particularly negative, but that was all kind of stuff that was going to be happening anyway. I mean, the right. Revs were up; they were up for a new jersey, they were up for, you know, the new kit, which was great. I mean, they did a really nice job with, you know, unveiling the jersey. I thought that was done really well. The re-entry draft was coming along, whether or not, you know, they wanted it or not to. So I feel like this was all things that we knew were coming. I think what a lot of team supporters are looking for right now is they're just looking for something, news, anything at this point. And I think it's been relatively quiet. I feel like you touched on Caraglio a little bit. That came through recently within the last day or two. So I think that was really the first big piece of news outside of what's going on with Rajko Lekić, which from the outside just looks messy. It looks bad. It's starting to get more and more attention on several different media outlets as well. So I don't necessarily know how well that's going to look on, you know, this new front office regime and what's going to happen with that. I mean, certainly Rajko has made his opinion known. He has stated he wants to stay. He just wants a little bit of security. He's got a family, and so if that's the case, and that's what, you know, if everything what he's saying is the truth on his side, it's kind of hard to see, you know, what's wrong with the situation. I mean, if he wants to be here, I think he should stay here.
Right. I think so too. But at the same time, and I don't know from what experience he's or what advice he's getting, but as far as I know, and as far as the general public knows, guaranteed contracts don't really happen in MLS the same way that they happen elsewhere. I mean, there's probably some guaranteed money. We know that we've had players on the squad in the past, like Edgar Jankauskas, who was here a lot longer than we thought he should be here, and yet they kept him for a certain amount of time. And we kind of had to think that maybe that was a guaranteed contract situation. So maybe Rajko Lekić is getting advice from his handlers saying, you know, hey, no, hold out. They'll give you, if they really want you, they'll give you a guaranteed contract. I don't know of anybody in MLS that's got a guaranteed contract. And it's part of the collective bargaining agreement, I think, on behalf of the players' union, that they were able to get guaranteed contracts after a certain date in the season. The first half of the season is technically, I think it's up to June, maybe July 1st, I think is something along those lines, is the cutoff day, midpoint through the summer. And so after that day, if they're still with the team, they are guaranteed the contract for the rest of the season. And it's kind of silly to speculate on who's had a guaranteed contract and who hasn't. I'm not sure if they're even allowed by the league. So that's my issue. But at the same time, I can see Lekic's standpoint and how he's needs to have a little bit more certainty given the Revs' track record over the last few years with their strikers. I mean, you look what happened with Marco. You look what happened with Ilya and other players that they've kind of brought in and they've let go and they've, you know, not used. And these guys maybe were made promises that, or not, I don't want to say promises, but, you know, made, you know, under the impression that if they performed to a certain level, they would get a certain reward. And, you know, it's up to the Revs to make those deals and make sure that they follow through with them. Or not follow through them. It's their prerogative. So I don't know. I'd like to see Lekić come back. Obviously, he's saying all the right things. He's putting on the right face to the public, that's for sure. And you'd think that if the rest of the team can, you know, build up around him so that he becomes an effective, you know, force in this game, I think there's some. I think that he would obviously do very well, but I think that's a key point. And who else is going to be there to provide him with that service? You know, Milton Caraglio was looking like that guy. He's not going to be here. So who do you get? Is it going to be Nate Jaqua? Is it going to be somebody else? It's got to. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's obviously striker is a huge, huge priority for this team in the offseason. Whether they go through, you know, the draft for that. I mean, you really can't be counting on a journeyman like Nate Jaqua. I don't want to even entertain that thought going into the season. is this team in a position? I mean, are they in full rebuilding mode? I mean, do you go and draft a very young striker and just play? I mean, they drafted Chalowski, who, in my estimation and opinion, really hasn't panned out the way they wanted him to. You know, I mean, strikers are kind of hard to cultivate. I mean, it's almost as if you want to bring one from the outside. I'm sure that's something that they're going to address in the upcoming draft. But it's with the news on Caraglio, which doesn't sound good, and obviously Lekic as well. That's a huge question for the team going forward. And with preseason 2 weeks away, you certainly don't hear anything as to whether or not, you know, there's a solution coming down the street here anytime soon.
No, and that's my chief concern, Ed. So we've got the draft on the combine starts on Friday, and even like you said, I mean, and we'll talk a little bit about this in the next segment. But you know, if they get somebody in the draft, I mean, how many MLS ready guys are there in the draft that can come right in, start right away? I don't think there's a whole bunch. I mean, I think in the past, people have been lucky with certain players like Taylor Twellman coming in through the draft. He was already playing in Germany for a couple of years before he came back in. There are going to be certain players out there that are MLS ready. I don't know. And I know you've been paying a lot more attention to this, so we'll definitely spend some more time on that. But my point is that if it get back to the Chalowski thing that you mentioned earlier. So here's a guy they brought in thinking that he could be an effective part, but I think they were always looking for somebody else to come back. I mean, they were thinking about Taylor Twellman was going to come back. They were thinking that other people were going to be available, maybe add some depth. And it never really panned out for Chalowski in the fact that the players that they had around him weren't there to help him. And the people that they tried to get never really stuck around long enough. And so, or never came through. Players like guys in Turkey and other, you know, mythical players that are out there that have always been on the Revs rumor mill. I looked at the draft as something as a rebuilding kind of scenario where you definitely want to go to the draft thinking that these guys are going to help us long term, maybe not help us right now. And, you know, it's kind of a tough thing for me to admit, because we've been doing this for the last 2 years in my mind. And I'm kind of looking at the draft now saying, all right, there's so many missing pieces. The Revs really need to do some augmenting of the roster in this next 2 weeks to 2 months to really build a core, or add on to the core players that they already have. Core players like Benny, Shawry, AJ Soares. You know, you still have Darius Barnes. You still have Kevin Alston. And presumably we still have Ryan Guy and Chris Tierney and some other fringe players as well. Ryan Kinney is still on the roster, although he didn't really get a lot of time last year. But, you know, maybe Jay Heaps thinks that he's going to play a bigger role. We really don't know, and maybe we'll see more out of the preseason. We'll also get a lot of questions answered after the draft as to who they end up, you know, picking. But, you know, and they did go out, they tried to get this guy, Danley Borman, who's an okay left back. He's not the most dependable left back. You got to be thinking that the guy who's got some South African roots is maybe looking elsewhere to maybe in a different country. Maybe he's got some other offers to play in Europe or something along those lines, where he might get a bigger payday. Because he wasn't making a ton of money in MLS. And the way the MLS reentry draft works is you're guaranteed a certain raise at a certain number when you get made a bona fide offer if you get picked in the first round, which he was. So the Revs have made that offer, and Danley Borman's still sitting on it, and we'll have to see what happens there. But do you think that there's other pieces out there? I mean, other than the Revs, you know, with their obvious holes in the defense, where should these guys be? You know, that's another thing. You know, you've lost Ryan Cochran, you've lost Franco Correa. You know, are we going to get another center back and to fit in this team?
I think that's the next question too, is their next hole is probably, you want to find somebody that can pair up with AJ Swords in the center of that defense. And I think, obviously, they were very, very lucky with AJ. I think AJ's panned out to be a great draft pick from last year. The kid pretty much started from day one, which is great. But I personally would like to see a veteran next to AJ that can kind of help him along, cultivate him. I mean, that's just my own, you know, kind of personal opinion, but that's definitely another hole that they're going to have to fill. But I mean, let's face it, it's soccer. I mean, there's always somebody out there in some league somewhere. I mean, there's never ever a problem with depth. It's just a matter of finding the right player and the right fit at the right time. And I think they're always looking. I mean, whether we think they are or not, I'm sure that they're always doing the homework, regardless of what public opinion might be. But that's definitely the next hole. And I mean, after the maybe top two or three defenders in the draft, there isn't really a center back there that could play day one. So I think they're going to have to look elsewhere, whether or not there are decent options as far as free agents are concerned. You have to understand it's January, so the transfer window's open, but it's kind of yet to be seen. I really don't think you're going to see much from the Revolution from a free agent or player signing standpoint until after the draft. Yeah. I think they want to see what they have there. See what happens with the re-entry draft process as well with those players. And then they'll most likely, as camp starts, they're going to start bringing players in and taking a look at them then.
Right. And that is something that was floated about. And I saw something on Twitter today saying that they were planning on bringing some trialists to the camp with them on January 6th. So that or January 16th, I believe, is when they start. Yep, Monday, January 16th. The reps will go out to Arizona in the first part of their preseason training. So, you know what, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll come right back and we'll talk about the upcoming draft, the combine, the draft, and some of the holes that the Revs need to fill, and who out there in the draft might be able to fit into some of those holes, either in the short term or the long term. We'll get right back to you. So stick around. We'll be right back. Girl, you thought you found the answer on that magic carpet ride last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still gets you uptight.
This is Danny Beerstein, founder of the Free Beer Movement. Help us build American soccer one beer at a time by visiting www.thefreebeermovement.com. It's American soccer culture with a nice buzz.
This is Darius Barnes, and you're listening to The Midnight Ride.
Hank Alexander, joined by Matt Jolly of thebentmusket.com and assorted other bars and singing establishments in the Naples, Florida region. Maddie, we've been looking at, you know, a lot of the upcoming important dates for the Revs. You know, none more important right now in my mind than the MLS Combine and the Super Draft. And, you know, we touched on it briefly. Looks like Jay Heaps and Mike Burns are going to be going out to Kansas City by themselves at this moment, because they haven't even announced their assistant coaching staff yet. But that could all just be paperwork. You know, it's Revs, it was a holiday, you know, a couple of holidays. The MLS office was probably pretty slow over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, maybe they've got some things that they just need to iron out some paperwork on, and hopefully these player signings and coaching announcements or whatever coaching hires will be done before they come into the combine. But one of the big things, obviously, about the combine is you get to pick out, you know, who you're going to take in the draft. So I'm going to turn it over to you as to, you know, where obviously the Revs need help all over the field. They seem to be pretty deep in center midfield. But, you know, they could maybe have some improvement on the wings and definitely need some help up top. And definitely need some help on the defense. So, you know, where do we go?
Well, I think I think that's the $64 million question. It's like, okay, nowhere here. I think first and foremost, one of the biggest things is the Revs have the number three pick in the draft, and I think regardless of where they decide to go, you know, you're getting a quality player there. I think a lot of it has to do with, and I know a lot of people aren't too familiar with how it works, but it's Generation Adidas, and I think recently you're getting. Coming down the line of which players are signing, it's just Kevin Alston is, you know, one of our Generation Adidas players. And to make a long story short, it just makes the contracts and things that work with that just a lot easier when it comes to dealing with your players. And it's as far as keeping them and their salaries, it just makes things much, much easier when your player has been selected that way. And a couple of players have already signed, which is great. But I think one of the biggest things I've come across now is actually today, someone that I had profiled on the Bent Musket was Billy Schuler, who played on North Carolina, who I thought would have been great for this team, a great striker up top. He's actually heading to Europe. So that actually takes one of the Revs' options away. So now you're looking at, you know, guys like Nick DeLeon, who's, you know, he's in the midfield. My personal favorite is Enzo Martinez, who's a midfielder from North Carolina. But you're right. I mean, the Revs are actually kind of deep at midfield, believe it or not. So you're looking for maybe some help down the flanks. I mean, that's something. Oh my God, how many times did we talk about that last summer? I mean, as far as like proper service and things like that. But like I had mentioned, there aren't a lot of prospects for the center of the defense. So you're probably going to see the Revs go somewhere more offensive. I think with, you know, Martinez signing the Generation Adidas deal, I think that's kind of big. The consensus for pretty much every media outlet right now is that Akron's forward Darren Maddox and Duke's center back Andrew Wenger are going to go 1-2 in that order. So you're probably not going to see those two guys. I mean, those two guys are going to start day one. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't really see a lot of movement on draft day as far as drafting up and things like that. But so you don't expect New England to try to, you know, make a move and draft up and try to get the second or first pick to pick one of those two guys. So then you're pretty much left with the guys that I had mentioned. Kalen Rowe from UCLA, another midfielder that I really liked. I actually got a chance to catch some of the College Cup when it was on television down here as well. So it's probably going to be one of those three players. But then again, you never know. It's all a crapshoot. But I think those are some names to look for now. Like I said, unless a center back comes up in the combine within the next few days and really, really impresses Coach Heaps, I wouldn't expect the Revs to go the defensive route in the first round just because there's a lot more depth at midfield, or at least for right now, for what we see as far as in college. You're going to get a much closer look. And the great part of it is, for fans out there that don't know, the player combine from Fort Lauderdale is actually going to be webcast live on MLSsoccer.com, which is great. So you can actually take a look at a lot of these players, which is great, and get a look for it yourself.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, those of us with day jobs will be able to catch the replay on ESPN afterwards. I know a lot of this is – actually, this is all on MLSsoccer.com, so I know in the past they've had – some of their clips from the day's workouts, whatever, the highlights at least, available to those players. So, but in terms of, now did you say Martinez signed a GA?
Yeah, through that is, he's expected to sign within the next day or two, if he hasn't already. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of this, the Generation Adidas stuff is shrouded in mystery, you know, which is kind of funny, but the Schuler news, the kid Billy Schuler from UNC, that just came down, he's going to Europe. But then you got but Maddox just signed as well. But yeah, I believe it was actually Ives Gallersip that came through and said that the Enzo Martinez deal is just about all but done. So, I mean, that was someone that I had kind of earmarked that would look great in a Revs jersey, at least at this particular point, as far as, you know, how he would fit into the system. And one of the things that I pointed out about him, he actually was a forward in high school. He led the country. He holds the national record for goals scored in high school soccer.
Yep.
which is amazing. So he actually changed his role at North Carolina to kind of better suit the system. I mean, they had a guy like Billy Shuler who was a year ahead of him anyway. So, I mean, he can play up top and score also. So if the Revs are looking for goals in this draft on that third slot, he'd be someone that really would be, you know, kind of an idea to look at. He seems very versatile. He's very, very fast as well. And he's got great vision too. So someone like that would really fit, I think, really well. Because like I said, the number one striker prospect in this draft right now is Maddox out of Akron. But, I mean, he's going to go number one overall. I mean, Montreal's already said that they love him. So right. It's pretty sure. I think he actually tweeted or someone had said, I think he's already learning French probably. So, I mean, he's absolutely going, you know, number one overall unless, you know, some unforeseen circumstances. But so I think Enzo Martinez is really good. De Leon from Louisville is great. He's more of a midfield player as well. If you're looking for offense, I mean, as far as forwards are concerned, it's, you know, forwards are always, they're tricky. I mean, it's hard to kind of get a look at a lot of forwards because you can never tell exactly what it is you're getting. But the Revs only scored, you know, in the high 30s as far as goals scored. I mean, they scored the third lowest goal total in the league last year. So that's priority one right now. I mean, this team needs to score goals. So I think that's what we're looking for going into the combine and then the super draft as well the following week.
Right. And the Revs are obviously right now dangerously thin at the forward position. They've got Diego Martinez, Zach Schalowski, maybe Ryan Kinney, who plays some forward. But, you know, you don't have Caraglio. It looks like you're not going to have Lekic either. You don't yet have Jaquia. And as we said, we don't necessarily want him starting every game. We don't want to depend on him going in into the season. So what are we going to do? You'd obviously get some big holes there. You got to get some players from either outside the league, bring them in, or you got to find a bunch of kids they're going to fill this hole. Now, I don't want to necessarily. I look at some of these other names out here on the forwards. You know, Casey Townsend was really great at Maryland. You know, is he the second coming of Taylor Twellman? No, he's probably more along the second coming of Adam Chrisman. And you know, great player in college. Who knows where he's going to end up in the pros? Surrogate. He reminds me of Adam Chrisman just the way he plays. I would love to see Enzo Martinez, or even that kid out of the other Carolina team that was in the final. It's Carolina Charleston, is that what it was? I can't even remember now.
I think it was
Charlotte.
I think it was Charlotte. It was Charlotte or Greensboro. What is it, like 19 colleges in North Carolina?
And they're all UNC. Yeah. No, it was Charlotte, I believe. And it's James was his name. I want to say Evan James, something along those lines.
I believe so, yeah.
Yep. So both he and Enzo Martinez are guys that really remind me a lot of Clint Dempsey. And I'm not necessarily looking for the next Clint Dempsey, but if he was out there, I think these are two of the guys that probably best fit that role. Guys that can create their own goals, set up other players, not afraid to get forward. And, you know, obviously can create. Another guy that was on UNC who had a really great season, and I don't know where he's going to end up or if he's going to stay I think he's graduating, was Ben Spies.
Right.
He had a great season at UNC, and especially in the College Cup. You got to look at that as a player that people are going to keep their eye on. I'm not sure. I haven't seen any buzz about him. I'm not even sure if he's a freshman or a sophomore or what. But maybe that he's staying in school for another year or two. But if that's the case, we'll, you know, have to make sure that we keep an eye on him in the years to come. But he was a player that was obviously very dynamic and somebody that can create opportunities for other players. And I think that's what the Revs really need right now is somebody that can you know, not just score goals, but help create goals for other players. Because you look at guys like Zach Schalowski and even Ryko Lekic, if Ryko is to stay with his team, these are guys that really depend on service coming into the box to score their goals. And if you don't get that service, they're going to be unproductive. And that's where I think that the Revs have been really faltering over the last few years. I think we saw a little bit of improvement in that, especially with Benny and Shaw Reed starting to kind of form a real relationship in the off season, or in the previous season, and then with towards the end of the season, you had Zirka helping out there. But again, we don't know what Zirka's status is going to be. We still have Ryan Guy, who plays on the flanks. We still have Kenny Mansali. Still have Chris Tierney. You know, Tierney and Mansali have been here before. They've done all that already. And, you know, still haven't really gotten all the goals that this team needs to get to be successful. And so there's a lot of open questions here that, that the Revs still need to answer. And I think... You know, like you said, we'll find out a lot more after the draft. But I think, you know, if we go down the rest of the roster, you know, in terms of center midfield, as we've said, it's all set. You know, don't really have to worry about that. Goalkeepers, we seem to be all set. But it's obviously center defense, left defense, and forwards for me. So... we'll have to make sure that, you know, over the weekend and next week when we get a real good look at the people that are coming into the draft and see who's available and who's not and who's declaring. Could be that, you know, Billy Schuler doesn't work out in Europe and, you know, comes back and they have to have a special lottery for him. I know they've done that for players in the past, so we'll see how that all works out. But... God, it would be great to see him in Revolution Blue. Anyway, doesn't look like that's going to happen. What else we got to talk about, Matt? I know you've got to run out to get your buddy at the airport. So, what are the things that you want to see happen for the Revs in the immediate future?
I think for me, what I'm really looking at with this team at this particular point, I'm interested to see what the, for lack of better terms, what the philosophy of this team is going to be going forward. I think that'll also, again, we're going to see a lot of it take shape as preseason begins. And because that's something that you really don't hear a lot about, you're not going to read about or learn about. And really until you see the team on the field, or you kind of can start to see how the team is taking shape. And I think that's why a lot of player signings and how we draft and things of that nature are kind of yet to be seen, only because we don't really know what we're going to get from this team. We're not really sure how Jay Heaps is going to utilize what he has. You know, it's funny because you read the things on Twitter and then, you know, the feedback on different sites. I know on the Bent Musket, we have a really good following as far as people contributing and talking. And, you know, some folks are like, you know, maybe they go back to a 3-5-2 with, with all these center midfielders. And, you know, so then you change the dynamic of the type of player that you're looking for. Once you kind of see what you have, I think, and going forward, I'm really interested to see what the philosophy of this team is going to be. Because for the last, you know, the whole, I guess almost the whole decade that with Steve Nichol, we're pretty sure of what we had. I mean, sure, they played the 3-5-2 for a while, but last year it was, the team didn't have an identity, you know. That's what it was. You know, and I said it a lot, especially, you know, towards the end of the year and folks were kind of piling on the club. You know, the team, believe it or not, I mean, it wasn't a bad team. The team is pieces. It's not, you know, it's really, I mean, you got guys like Benny Fallhaber, you have Shari Joseph still, and even guys like Lekic and Caraglio that I really liked. I mean, obviously, whether or not they're coming back remains to be seen, but it's not for a lack of talent. I think this team just lacks an identity, and I think with Coach Heaps coming in now, I'd really want to see one team, one philosophy, and everyone kind of committed to that from the top to the bottom. I mean, it's nice to see how they revamped the front office. Everyone's roles now are more solidly defined, which is great. And I think what the philosophy of this team is, how they're going to play going forward, and how they're going to develop and cultivate talent is what's really interesting me now. I think that's why this next, you know, month or so is really exciting. When you go into the combine and see the look and what they're coming down, and you're going to see how the team drafts as well at the super draft, and then you kind of see the team take shape and how they're going to start to play, which is great. And then before you know it, they're playing preseason matches out in Arizona, and we're going to have a really good idea of how this team is going to play going forward. So for me, that's what I'm excited to see, and how this regime, for lack of better terms, is going to be different than the last one, and how this team is going to play on the pitch.
Right. And obviously, I mean, yeah, January 16th, preseason opens at Gillette Stadium. Then they head off to Arizona I guess, for 10 days, it looks like. They'll be up there from the 21st to the 31st, returning back to Foxborough for a while, then heading back out to Tucson for the Tucson Desert Diamond Cup, which I guess is a new preseason tournament that the Revs will be participating in. That takes place on Monday, February 20th. And then, you know, the regular season is scheduled to start early March. So we'll all be huddled around our, you know, campfires watching these guys while they're, who knows what their opening game is going to be. They haven't announced who they're playing on opening day yet, have they? We're still waiting for that schedule.
Yeah, it's actually coming through that there's a few rumors here and there and rumblings and grumblings that the MLS schedule is actually coming out within the next couple of days. We all know how this goes. So whether or not that's the truth remains to be seen. But at least through my back channels, it seems like the schedule itself should be out relatively soon, within a few days or so. Okay. But, I mean, I'm not going to call Vegas and put any money down on it anytime soon.
I mean, the only date we know for sure, I think, is that the Revolution are playing at home on, was it March 24th?
Yep, yeah, March 24th. I actually already booked the flight. I'm looking forward to it. But
all right. Well, we'll see if we may be crossing, you know, in the air at some point, because I usually head south around that time. So we'll see. But hopefully we'll all be back and watching our home team, our new coach in our new kits with new players and everything new and shiny and happy and positive and all that good stuff happening at Foxborough Stadium, or excuse me, Gillette Stadium. You can tell how old I am.
Dave himself. Just, well, at least you didn't say, what was it? Was it Schaefer Stadium before that? So at least you didn't say that.
I've referred to it as Schaefer Stadium in the past too, so it's all right. But anyway, let's leave it there for tonight. And I know we've got a whole lot to look forward to in the next week or so. So hopefully we can get you back on, and we can talk about a little bit about what we saw in the combine and who we're going to see in the draft, and we'll hopefully have some more Revs news to talk about. But so I want to thank you, Matty, for coming on, and make sure you check out Matt's stuff on thebentmusket.com. He and Steve Storr and some other guys have been really cranking it out over there. It's been good stuff, keeping us informed as much as we can be with the slow trickle of information that's coming from the Revs front office. But hopefully it's all, the floodgates are going to open up, and we'll all be swimming in Revs news and heading into the preseason with big happy smiles on our faces. So, so for Matt, thanks, man. And this is Hank Alexander. We're signing off for the Midnight Ride. We'll catch you guys next time. Cheers.